Welcome to this podcast, produced by Imagine, your resource for early childhood music therapy. Imagine is produced by Della Vista Publisher and can be found on the web at www.imagine.musictherapy.biz. The title of this podcast is Focus on Emotional Growth and features Jessica Heinz in an interview with Aaron Sheena.
Hi there. My name is Aaron Sheena, and I am an editorial assistant of Imagine Magazine. I'd like to welcome Jessica Heinz. Thank you so much for joining me today for our Imagine podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So the COVID-19 pandemic has raised great concerns for children's mental health and well-being by caregivers, service providers, and professional organizations. In this year's Imagine podcast series, we'd like to find out about challenges that you faced, how you promote good social and emotional development in infants and young children, and what supports you give their parents, caregivers, and communities. We've prepared 10 questions for you. So question number one is, where do you work and what's your role?
So I'm currently a contractor through a company called LCTPS, which is the Louisville Center for Therapy and Personal Services. And I do music therapy in a couple of different places through that. But I supplement that work as a preschool teacher at one of the local preschools.
Excellent. So what is the age group that you primarily work with in the preschool center?
So I'm fortunate that I'm a floater. So I kind of get to go everywhere. Don't get the same kids every day. Don't get the same ages every day. So it's anywhere from 6 weeks to 5 years, depending on the day or depending on the hour within the day. So it kind of goes all over the place.
Wow. Okay. Lots of variety then.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, our next question is, what's on your mind when you read about the rise in mental health issues among young children due to the COVID-19 pandemic?
It's definitely brought up a lot of concerns because so often we talk about, early intervention, kind of getting in there as quickly as possible, because mental health issues as young children means mental health issues later on in childhood, later on in adolescence, adulthood. It kind of is this snowball effect. So it's slightly discouraging because we just don't know the answers right now. Like, we see this rise, but it's an unprecedented situation. So it's been really interesting to see people's points of view on what should be done, what can be done, how we kind of prepare for this new generation.
Yeah. How has the pandemic affected the mental health of your students or clients and the children that you work with?
I've noticed it mostly, I think, in kind of social interactions. Mm. My kids are a little bit behind in the way that they interact with their peers, but also just the way that they handle emotions. Emotional recognition isn't quite what is written about in terms of each age group. Even emotional intelligence, emotional awareness in themselves is not where I would expect it to be as their teacher. It kind of goes along with their attachment issues. I've never had more students upset about leaving the car in the morning than I have this year. Mm. So it's just been really interesting to see.
Yeah, so not quite meeting the benchmarks that you see in the literature and that you might have experienced before the pandemic, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's involved a lot of improvisation as teachers because we don't have these benchmarks that are accurate anymore. Mm-hmm. Those benchmarks actually mean you're ahead a lot of the time now. So we're kind of along for the ride and kind of letting the kids lead the way in a sense. Yeah. Which has been interesting.
Yeah. How have you noticed that you've adjusted your services kind of according to these mental health needs?
A lot of it, I think, has to do with patients and then kind of alternate approaches, I guess. So recognizing that a lot of these behaviors that are unpleasant or inappropriate, hey, they don't know what they're doing. They haven't been put in this situation before. and kind of taking that pause to say, hey, you know what, like, let's see what happens, has been different for sure. But also incorporating books or signs around the classroom or different songs that, especially with emotional intelligence, these children need, because at my preschool, they, at age two, you start wearing masks. So you can't rely on facial expressions anymore. You can't even always rely on tone of voice anymore. So really going through that process of, what are you feeling? Why are you feeling it? What can we do about it? Is, I guess, a little bit more formal than it has been in the past. Where you could say, do you see the look on my face? This is how I'm feeling. What are we going to do about it?
Yeah, just not having had that really direct or really obvious input of interaction and seeing how people look when they're mad or sad, at least with their whole face, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm. So what are some of the ways that you help children that are struggling with the pandemic-related stress and fear and grief through either music therapy interventions or just in your role as a teacher?
I find that there's actually a lot of overlap, and I really am thankful that I have this therapy background as a teacher this year, because mm-hmm. I think a lot of teachers are really struggling, and it's nice to have these extra tools in my back pocket that other teachers may not have. And I find that you find an enjoyment or some sort of connection, whether it's through books or through music or through art, and you just hold on to that and never let go, because this stress and fear that's happening, whether it's kind of inherited from their parents, whether they feel it from their peers or their teachers, or whether they understand it or not, talking about it has to be semi-enjoyable for them to even want to engage in that conversation. So if we're going to talk about it, let's sing about it. There's this incredible book called The Color Monster that has been a lifesaver for me, because it's all about separating your emotions and being able to identify them, even if they're kind of all combined in one space. And I had this poster of each little monster with their different colors, and we would do a little check-in in the morning. What color are you feeling? Because we couldn't say, look at their face. How do you think they're feeling? Oh, well, they're smiling, so they're happy. It's, I'm feeling yellow. And you could tell your friend that without having these facial cues that we've had in the past, of course.
So how can parents help nurture their child's mental health and kind of work on some of these things that we've been talking about?
Well, I mean, what we often forget as teachers and therapists as well is that these children are a product of pandemic adults. And whether that's a first-time parent or a 10th-time parent, no one had the toolbook to be a parent in the pandemic. And often preschool is not only a tool because, oh, I need to work, so I'm sending you to preschool, but it's often, I don't have the emotional capacity to be a stay-at-home parent, so I'm sending you to preschool to get some of that social interaction without me, to get some of that learning without me, because I either don't have the personality for it, don't have the patience for it, don't have the time for it. Whatever it may be, parents set themselves up for success by sending their children to preschool. So to take away that resource meant that, hey, in a preschool setting, I would tell you that you need to share that toy if you took it from me. But at home, fine, it's your toy anyway. I was just, you know, playing with it to have something to do, so you can just take it. But making sure that school expectations kind of come home, school routine, if your child is really entrained to a routine, ask those teachers, hey, when do they take nap here? Is that successful for them? When do they eat lunch here? Is that successful for them? What song do you use to clean up? Is that successful for them? And having that routine kind of built up so that there isn't this at home, I can get away with a lot because my parents are so tired and so exhausted that if I scream loud enough, screen time is a must. Or, you know, just kind of making sure that there's not this confusion of it's okay here, but it's not okay there, because then after breaks or after weekends, even these poor children are pulled in 17 different directions and they feel lost and confused in ways that we can kind of help manage.
Yeah. And I bet, especially as preschools and, you know, daycare centers and things were reopening for the first time, I'm sure that there were a lot of kids who had never been exposed to anything like that. And so not only being in a new environment, but having new routines and new expectations and, you know, all these new experiences, like you said, they're just being pulled in all kinds of different directions. And I imagine that that did have a big impact on stress and just their, you know, expectations of what their day is going to be like.
For sure. And I mean, as an adult, we can say, hey, don't grab that from my hand. Please don't hit me. A child is going to hit them back, throw a toy at them, do whatever. So it's this combination of a bunch of children in a room who all have the same deficits, for lack of a better term, you know, have these brand new experiences. And then they're thrown in with this peer group who also has no idea how to interact with young children. And it's a lot for them. So I, you know, they're plugging away, and it's been really amazing to see their adjustments as well.
Yeah.
You got to learn fast in the pandemic world. So
yeah, we all do. So how do you feel like we can best support communities to build those sustainable mental health and, well-being practices for infants and young children and also their families?
Using resources in, whether that's parenting magazines, places like Imagine that have these tools for at home. It's one of the things I love about Imagine is that it's not just for music therapists. There's songs that I've been like, ooh, in the classroom, this might be really helpful. But having those resources available of like, hey, your kid is struggling with fill in the blank, here are six things you can try. Having kind of centralized locations for that is really helpful. And then having community groups in ways that maybe you're not comfortable sending your kid to a preschool yet or a daycare, but you still want them to have that social interaction. I know I'm starting a contract soon where it's just children ages 7 to 12 who like music, and we're doing a music community group where they're still going to have to share instruments and interact with each other respectfully, but it's in a fun way that's not just school and allows them to get rid of stress in a really socially respectable manner where they're learning these same skills, but in a very subtle way where it doesn't feel too uncomfortable for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, learning some of those coping skills without realizing that we're learning them, right?
Exactly. Secret coping skills is always the best way.
Yeah. Well, you kind of, you touched on Imagine, of course, but are there any other resources that you recommend for parents or teachers or anyone who might be looking?
I mean, The Color Monster is my all-time favorite book. If your child is having trouble with feeling identification or kind of taking that pause and saying, what am I feeling right now? But, you know, it's not a written resource, but rely on your teachers and rely on your co-parents and, you know, other parents in your classes, because they are the best resource that I can think of. The amount I've learned from my fellow teachers on how to take a pause yourself for disciplining in a way that is not helpful to the situation has been probably the best thing I can learn. And understanding why behaviors are happening. Is your child just confused and they need a moment of explanation? But there are resources everywhere, whether it's scientific or in, you know, specifically geared towards parents or teachers that can kind of give you some insight, because no one knows what they're doing. And so it's just a bunch of ideas thrown together, which is really cool because it can be trial and error on everybody's part.
On that note, what are some of your hopes for these pandemials, as they have started to be called?
I'm just really hoping for some children who are excited by change. I think so often, I mean, with millennials, we're supposed to be this kind of woe is me society of just like, you know what, life isn't going my way, but that's just how life is. And, you know, Gen Z is the opposite, where they're like, we have to change everything, and but we don't know how. We're just going to be really excited about it. And I'm hoping that these pandemials will like understand their strengths, because they've had this time to grow on their own, but also like recognize the strengths in their peers and the people around them, and find these innovative ways to change the world and see a problem and try to fix it, because they really have been so adaptable in the most beautiful ways, and in the ways that they lift each other up, and what they consider normal. I had a child today tell me my virus is fixed because I got 3 shots, and I was like, you sure did. And that was normal for him, and he was so proud that he was able to do that and take care of his little siblings by getting these shots, that, you know, they're in the face of adversity, they're going to be like, well, this is the solution. Let's do it. Whatever that may be. And so I'm really excited to see what comes out of that.
What an incredible opportunity and outlook coming out of something that was so scary and terrifying for so long. The kids will be all right, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well, to wrap us up, can you share some advice for our listeners who might be facing this mental health crisis for infants and young children?
Yeah, take a deep breath. No one knows what they're doing. So if you're struggling, it's not because you missed something, you didn't get the memo. It's because we're all kind of in this ride together. Rely on the people around you. Take care of yourself as well, because our young children demand all of our energy, but they shouldn't get it all the time. So take care of yourself so that you can best take care of your children, and listen to what they have to say, because often they're telling you what they need in very surprising ways.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your insights and about some of your experiences. It's been so illuminating and so cool to talk with you. Yeah, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for listening to this Imagine podcast, produced in 2022.